Hallelujah. There's a lot. Are you ready for the word this morning? Okay, let's start out with our favorite Bible scripture, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Say it with me. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. And we've been hitting on that His fragrance fills the atmosphere, fills the room. When you have a fragrance, you are either a fragrance of life or a fragrance of death. And wherever you go, you bring that fragrance with you. This is part of that fragrance. We diffuse the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. This is kind of I don't have a lot of time this morning, so we're going to kind of jump into this and running. Galatians 3, 1, he says, Paul writes, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? When you get bewitched, you stop obeying what God said to do. That's the purpose of it. It's not just to make you bark like a dog. Some people think, well, if I'm bewitched, it means I'm demon-possessed, and I don't have control of what I do, and the devil's going to make me do things I don't want to do. Listen, the first thing about becoming bewitched is you don't obey God. Is that clear enough? You don't obey Him. The devil is trying to get you to not obey the truth. Because I didn't intend to go here. But in John 8, Jesus said, if you're truly my disciples, you'll study, I think it says, if you study the word, you'll be my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Okay? If we continue in His word. But it's based on continuing in His word. And if we continue in His word, you'll be disciples. If you're a disciple, God can reveal the truth to you. When the truth is revealed to you, you get free of whatever aspect of confusion in your life, whatever disease, whatever. You'll get free of it. Why? Because the truth is working in you, and the truth is what makes you free. And you're a disciple under that truth, meaning you're giving that truth place in your life. And when you do that, because you're continuing in the word, you get free. People say, well, I just don't understand that. It didn't work for me. Well, what do you mean it didn't work? Well, I did it for a week. Now, this has got to be a lifestyle. there's an old joke. I haven't told this one for a long time, so you'll really appreciate it. There's an old joke about a chicken and a pig walking down the street. And they see a sign hanging over a restaurant, and it says bacon and ham, egg and ham breakfast for $2. And the chicken says to the pig, he says, isn't it great to know you're making a contribution? And the pig says, for you, it's a contribution. For me, it's a total commitment. See, a lot of Christians, we want to make a contribution to God, but we're not willing to make a total commitment to Him. And then we blame God when things don't go right in our life. It's like, that's because you didn't make a total commitment. But I tried. No, you don't try. See, this is the thing. You make the commitment, and then once you make the commitment, you follow through on it because you made a commitment. If you don't follow through, this is hard. If you don't follow through, then you haven't really made a commitment. Because a commitment isn't something you try; it's a commitment. You do this thing. Well, will it hurt? Probably. Will we have to go through things that you didn't really sign up for? Most likely. But the thing is, at the end, you get free. You get free. And see, if free, for the joy that was set before Him, Jesus endured the suffering of the cross. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 and 4, Paul wrote again, he said, but I fear, lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I'm telling you, Jesus is simple. The gospel is simple to understand. You are dead. If you want to be born again and have the life of God, believe in Jesus Christ. Now, isn't that simple? But religion makes it difficult. Well, if you understand you're dead and you want to be born again, you've got to do this, you've got to do this and this and this. And there's all these rules and all these regulations, and you have to do all these things. And all of a sudden you become overwhelmed. Well, that's the beginning of becoming bewitched, because it will cut off your believing in God. It'll cut off your believing in what Christ has done for you, because now you've got to do all of these things for Christ so that Christ will do something for you. That's not the simplicity of God. You didn't get born again that way. You just believed God. For me, basically, I thought I knew God, and I found out I didn't. And all I could do was say, well, God, I'm yours. And he came into my life. And I was really knew that I was changed. I knew that I was born again. I didn't have any knowledge at all. Everything I thought I had learned in church, it took me about 25 years to figure this out, but everything I learned in church was wrong. It took me 25 years to figure it out. Now I'm rebuilding. You know, I'm putting things back the way that they're supposed to be. But I had to unlearn so much religion, because I had made the contribution, but I hadn't made a commitment. Because I really hadn't given, I wanted to give my life to God. I wanted to do the right things, but I thought it was all by my own effort. Where I found this out years ago. When you die to self, you're dead. The hard part, see, it's easy to be a Christian. All you have to do is die to yourself. Dying's the hard part, okay? Crucifying yourself, that's the hard part. And I find out I'm daily crucifying myself. I'm daily going through, that's hard. Oh God, today I want to crucify myself. Oh God, put a nail through my hand again today. Oh God, pin me up on the wall. No, I don't want to do that, but sometimes I've got to, in order to get free from the limitation that's holding me back, I've got to be set free. And the only way I can do that is to kill myself and to allow God to live in me. Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. In the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. See, when you start, Paul was committed. Paul was one of the few people on the road to Damascus when God shocked him and knocked him off his high horse. He said, Paul, this is going to be your life if you serve me. You're going to be beaten. You're going to be abused. You're going to be put to death. You're going to die a horrible death. And Paul says, okay. My response would have been, can we renegotiate this? You know, God, I think I might have a better plan than yours, because yours doesn't sound really good. Oh, Paul, did I tell you, you'll be with me forever in heaven? Well, that's nice, God, but what about now? I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you all the days of your life. Did you know that Jesus didn't say that? Jesus said it, but he was quoting Old Testament. God told people in the Old Testament, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Jesus said it, but he's quoting Old Testament. It was already in the law. Some of you go home and look that up. It's Old Testament. Jesus didn't say hardly anything that wasn't already in the Old Covenant. He just brought it out and said, this is now. And see, we got Christians today, well, God will never leave you, never forsake you. Well, I sure hope so. No, listen, I'm telling you, God will never leave you, he will never forsake you. Well, I hope so. No, listen to me, you're going to get this. I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I will be with you always. Sin cannot separate us, sickness cannot separate us, disobedience cannot separate us. We are one in you. That's the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. And yet so many, we want to make it so complicated. If you do this, God will never talk to you again. Well, I was already doing those things when God started talking to me. Huh? But even in Pentecostal circles, you've got to be holy to hear the voice of God. How many in this room, you know God's talked to you at one time or another? How many of you were holy when God spoke to you? But now let me give you a clue in that. If you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, you are holy. You're not becoming. You are holy. You are sanctified. You are set apart. You are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. This is the simplicity of it. But isn't it amazing that once someone gets born again, we now take them back? Well, you don't have to obey all the law, just the first 500. You know? And we make up our own rules and regulations. I mean, I was raised in our denomination wasn't this way, but there are denominations. If you are not baptized correctly, you're not really saved. See, we were the committed ones. We dunked you. We put you underwater. Three times we did it because we weren't sure if the first two would take. You know, so we really put you under the water. And yet there was this other denomination that we were talking with about joining and merging and coming together, and they only poured. They didn't believe in dunking. And we couldn't get together because, well, what if we pour? Well, we believe in dunking. Yeah, but we think pouring's okay. We think that dunking stuff is a little too excessive. You know, well, dunk, sprinkled, poured. What saves you is faith in Jesus Christ. The baptism, the form of baptism, is an outward sign of an inner work. Well, do you believe three times, one time? Pastor Rivall, he asks some really strange questions. See, sometimes we were talking about baptism. He says, "How many times do you baptize?" I said, "Three." He said, "Why?" "I don't know. Just that's what we did when I grew up, I guess." Then the scripture came up, "Once in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." He said, "Aren't they one?" Next topic. You know, we just move on from there, just slide on. But I'm telling you, the gospel of Christ is simple. It's simple. Now, still in 2 Corinthians 11, 3, I'll read 3 and then we'll go to 4. "But I fear lest somehow as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you received a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." In other words, we're just so open-minded. Yeah, whatever. If they come in the name of Jesus. You know, some people come, well, Jesus will put curses on you. Jesus will put sickness and disease on you. The devil is the servant of God. You know, and they believe this. And it's not that far off base because most Christians believe that in one way or another. But when you look at God, it says he created, because, listen, God created Lucifer, but he became the devil. For iniquity was found in him. Just like he created Adam and Eve in perfect likeness of God. And yet when they were tempted whether to keep the word of God or not, they chose to not obey the word of God. I read an article the other day that put it in a neat way. I'm going to take this for myself after I say this. But it says, Adam believed more in the voice of Eve than he did the voice of God. And so he lost the garden. He fell into sin because he trusted the voice of Eve more than he trusted the voice of God. See, that's bewitched. That's a different gospel. That's a different Jesus. And there's people that preach a different Jesus. Oh, yeah, we believe in Jesus. Do you know the Mormons believe in Jesus? The Jehovah's Witnesses believe in Jesus? Did you know that Islam believes in Jesus? Buddha believes, Buddhism, Hinduism, they believe in Jesus. He's just one of many gods they sit on the shelf. They all believe in Jesus, but which is the right Jesus? And see, this is why you have many Christians even saying that we all believe in the same God, because we all believe in Jesus. The problem is we don't believe in the same Jesus. I believe in Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of God, the only begotten of God, who was born and came into the earth as flesh, becoming like us. Oh, Hindus can't do that. No, can't do that. Islam can't do that because God cannot even touch us. God, Allah, cannot even speak with us, because if Allah would speak to us, he would become dirty. And Allah would no longer be Allah. This is why I like our God so much. He was made to be flesh. And you know what he made flesh? Holy. See, when God's righteousness touches sinful flesh, God doesn't change, but he changes us. And he changes us for good. Hallelujah. He doesn't change us for bad. He changes us for good. We're talking about the simplicity of the gospel. But he says there's some, and they preach a different Jesus. And he says they'll preach a different spirit. God is an angry God. You know, he's out to get you. And if you mess up one time, I'm telling you. I mean, we were basically taught God loves you. He's a good God. But you could blow it 5 minutes before you die. You could be there, and if a cuss word comes out of your mouth right before you die, you've lost your salvation. You're going to be in hell forever. You know, it's like, oh, don't tell me that. You know, I never cussed a whole lot in my life anyway, just a few words in college. But it's like, you got to be, one time, I can live my whole life righteous, obeying the law, 5 minutes before I die, I blow it, and I'm lost forever. You say, well, Gordon, people don't really believe that. Really? You go to most conferences, and they'll preach you, if you've sinned and you need forgiveness, you need to come to the front right now, and God, and the place is full. Why? They feel guilty because they don't know they're forgiven. They don't know who they are in God. It is a different spirit. When we bought this building, they had a prayer railing up here at front. I don't know why, because the prayer railing is Presbyterian, but the denomination that we bought the church from wasn't Presbyterian, but they had the prayer railing still left up here. And we took that down. One of the people from that denomination came and visited us, and they saw that we had removed the prayer railing. They said, God will never show up in this place. You remove the altar. It's a kneeling rail for prayer. It is more Catholic than Protestant. Okay, the altar is up here at front. We decorate the altar. Now, in the Old Testament, the altar is hidden. You don't see the Holy of Holies. The only altar you see is the brazen altar of brass, which represents sin, which represents you can't go past it until you offer a sacrifice, and that's what stops most Christians, because that's what's taught. The first church I pastored, they told me they had a back room, and before communion every year, or every time they did communion, they would take people in the back room one by one to confess their sins. If there was anything that they had done, because they were afraid that you would die if you took communion. And there was sin in your life. Well, we know that's not true. I mean, everybody in churches would be dead. I mean, just look at it. I mean, you know, just see the simplicity of it. Oh, we don't dare take communion. You're telling me everybody in that church is absolutely perfect. They have no spot, no wrinkle, no blemish, no nothing on them. Every time you take communion, isn't that marvelous? I mean, it may only last 5 minutes, but isn't it marvelous that the whole congregation can reach that point, and yet we believe it? You know? Well, nobody can be holy. Well, not by our own efforts, no. But God has made us. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new, and all things are now of God, who has reconciled to himself, becoming sin with our sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. I can say, I'm the righteousness of God. Oh, brother, that's going too far. Wait a minute, I'm just quoting Bible. Just like Jesus said when he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He's just quoting Old Testament. He's just saying, I am that I am. He's saying, I'm God. I'm Yahweh. I'm the one Moses worshiped. I'm the one that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob sacrificed. So I'm the one that they made the promises. Yeah, I'm that one, and I wouldn't leave them. And I'm not leaving you either. Woo. He didn't say it to just a man. He said it to all men. Hallelujah. So there's different spirits. He says we're a different gospel, gospel of law. This is what Paul was fighting so much, particularly at the church at Galatia. They had gone back under the letter of the law, the letter of condemnation, and they had given up to a different gospel of Jesus Christ. They had what we call officially as Judaizers. And the Judaizers would go into denomination, into the local churches, and tell the Gentiles, well, you need to be circumcised because circumcision is a sign of the covenant of God that he made with Abraham. And they said, really, we need to be circumcised? Yes, you need to be circumcised. Oh, and by the way, you can't eat this, and you can't eat that, and you can't eat this, and other things. Remember when it was Peter had this weird dream about all this food? And all this food came down on a sheet. Three times he had this dream. And the food's just pouring down the sheet. And God says, take and eat. He says, oh, but I'm holy. I've never eaten these things. These are profane things. I would never, as a good Jew, I would never, never eat that. And God says, don't call what I've called holy unholy. He's not just talking about food, because when he woke up the third time from the dream, someone knocked at the door. And so when they went to the door, it was a Gentile. He says, we've been told by an angel of God to come to this house and ask for Peter to come to us and preach the gospel. Did you know that a Jew could not enter into the house of a Gentile? It made them dirty. So Peter goes to the house. He doesn't stand out outside door, let me tell you about Jesus. He goes in the house. Ooh, he's already broken Jewish law. He gets in there, and his attitude is, well, I'll tell him about Jesus, and then I'll leave. My job will be done, okay? And the guy gave his life to Christ. And Peter's kind of scratching his head at this, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit came. Peter hadn't prayed for the Holy Ghost, but these people, we accept Jesus Christ. We were so happy. Oh, thank you, God. And the Holy Ghost came. And Peter says, well, we can't keep him from being baptized now that God's baptized him in the Holy Ghost. And we've substituted water baptism for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you've got charismatic churches, denominations, preaching against the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But you'd better be baptized in water or you're not really saved. See, it's a different gospel. And Paul warns them, if anybody comes to you preaching a different gospel than what I've preached you already, you're going to put up with it, even though you know it's not right. One of the saddest things I heard as a pastor years ago, I knew him, I loved him. We never really spent a whole lot of time together, but I heard he was in the hospital, and I went to visit him, and he was dying. And when I first went in, I said, I just came to talk to you. He said, I don't want to talk to you. Because in the denomination, I was already the black sheep, I was already the one that they'd cast out. And as I turned to leave, I just said, I want you to know, I love you. I said, I've always admired you and respected you. And as I turned to leave, he said, wait, Gordon, wait. Come on back in. And we talked about a lot of things, but one of the things he told me, he says, I've been so disappointed in my later years of ministry. He said, Gordon, I taught the church what I knew about God. He said, I raised them up in right doctrine. I taught them Bible. He says, when I retired, I thought this church is well-versed in Scripture. They know God. They will be constant and consistent for a long time because I've taught them well. He said this new pastor came in. He actually started preaching things opposite than what he had taught him. And the church went right along with it. See, so many people want to come to church not to experience God. They just want a good moral lesson. They just want something that tickles their ears and makes them feel good. But they don't want to make a commitment to God. Because once you've made a commitment to God. Listen, Paul even called out Peter. Peter's living among the Gentiles. Peter's eating Gentile food, he non-kosher food. And all of a sudden, some representatives from Jerusalem came Jewish to see him. And they weren't opposed. They just came to check out the churches like they did and make communication. And all of a sudden, Peter withdrew from the Gentiles and started living like a Jew again and refused to have participation with the Gentiles. And Paul called him out. He talks about it in the letters. I wasn't afraid of him, even though he was an apostle, even though he was gifted by God, even though he walked with Jesus. He did not have more knowledge than I had. As far as we know, we're not sure if Paul ever heard Jesus preach. But he knew Christ in the power of the resurrection. And see, you know Christ, even though you've never heard him preach, you've never seen him walk the earth, but you know him now by the power of the resurrection. And he has witnessed in you that if any man, if any person would come to Christ and believe in him, that he is made holy, that he is forgiven of sin, that healing is available to us, and grace and mercy, all they're available to us because we've believed in Jesus Christ. We know there's no barrier. We in color of skin, in nationality, in language, we know there is no barrier because God has witnessed this to us, because you were so ugly, some people wouldn't even give you the time of day, but God saved you. God accepted you, and he called you my child, and he called you his beloved, and he accepted you without anything. He said, well, maybe God didn't know everything I had done. No, he knew it all. You didn't do anything that could ever shock him, but God accepted you, and he loved you. And instinctively on the inside, instinctively I mean by the Spirit, we know these things, but yet somebody else will come along and say, well, they're not the right color. And we'll go along with it because we haven't made a commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're just in it for the convenience, and that's just, you hear it today, can't we just all get along with one another? No, you can't. No, you can't. You can't get along with sin. You can't get along with denying God. You can't get along with those things. There comes a time you've got to deny the things of this world and cling to God. I'll just add this, the time is now. The time is now to make a crystal clear decision. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we're not going to compromise the God. You don't have to be mean about it. You don't have to be in everybody's face, but you have to be committed to it. I will become a minister of reconciliation. I will become a healer. I will become the one. When everybody else is losing their head, I will be the one that keeps my steadiness in Jesus Christ. I will not be moved from this gospel. I will not be moved from the things of God. Amen. It says, John, I'll close with this real quick. John Adams in 1798 said, "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Avarice, ambition, revenge, or gallantry would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people." He means Christians. "It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." You know, when the church is bewitched, when we believe a different gospel, our nation is also bewitched. And when we're bewitched away from the things of God, human passion drives us because there's no restraint. And we just do what is pleasing in our own eyes. And we do those things that are comfortable for us because we don't care a whit about anybody else. We don't care about God. All we care about is just, I want the easy road. I want the easy way to go. And some of these things aren't easy. Having to get rid of some old beliefs is not easy to do. There's struggles in our head to do that, but you've got to do it to get free. You cannot hang on to the past and grab hold of the future at the same time. If you're going to go ahead, you've got to let go of the past. That's what Paul said. You've got to let the things of the past go. You've got to forget about all the stupid things you did. You've got to forget about what some of the stupid things you're doing now. Smile at me. You got to let all those things go. You've got to reach ahead and say, but God loves me. God brought me out of this. God is helping me. God is with me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He's always with me. Oh, he's a constant help in time of trouble. Oh, God, I thank you. And you've got to cling to that which is ahead of you, because if you don't, what you refuse to hold on, to let go of in the past, will always have a hold on you, and you can never go beyond the reach of your own arm, of your own strength. You've got to let those things go. When human passions are unbridled, there's no restraint other than physical force. That's why the law was given. That's why the commandments were given. Because he knew you can only limit yourself by law and by punishment if you don't let God restrain you. This is why we're living at this time that we're in right now, because we've got two choices being set before us. Either human passion without limits to do anything I want to, or we're going to obey God. And I believe the body of Christ is standing up and saying, we're going to be committed. We're tired of just making a contribution and having nothing to show for it. We're ready to make a commitment to Jesus Christ and his gospel above all other things, because that is what sets us free. Amen. Let's stand up. Continued next week. Praise God. Father, we thank you for the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, of how easy you have made it to believe in you and to trust you. And Father, many people go through many struggles, and yet we understand how easy it is to just believe in you and trust in you. Help us, Father, in those areas that we still struggle to realize how easy it is to believe in you and trust you in those situations also. Father, if you delivered us from hell, and you did, you can deliver us from the trivial things that plague us, for the fears, the worries. You can deliver us from the old wounds and the old hurts and even heal our scars. Father, you can bring us out of any mess and plant our feet on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, that we can trust in you and know you and know the liberty that you have given to us, that the things of this world cannot contend against the things of God, because, Lord, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord over all things, seen and unseen. Father, for this we give you praise, that we are born again, that we are filled with the Spirit and the power of a living God that gives us strength and empowers us in every situation. For you, Father, we thank Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. God bless you.